This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family matters.
Good evening, you're on Joy 94.9. It is Family Matters, the show where we talk about all the things that are important to what the ever-increasing number of GLBTI families out there. A new show on Joy, produced by Gina. Welcome to the studio.
Adrian, you and I are back. We were kind of missing for the first show. Sorry,
we were on holiday. And so Dave as well. Of course, I need to welcome Dave to the show as well.
I'm back again. Thank you for you guys for coming in today, finally.
Yeah. we thought we'd come in and have a go. Why not?
Gina, up there in Port Douglas last week. You were in Brisbane, right, Adrian?
I was, and I was on the tarmac as you were on air, Dave. And so I was listening and to you as I was pulling out from the gantry thing. You did a wonderful job. Did it go well? You were happy with last week?
I think so, yeah. 60 minutes go so quick on radio, but you know what? Done.
I phoned in at least.
Did you?
Yeah, good work. I called in and said hello.
We've got a great show tonight. We have on the show a matriarch. I hope I'm not offending anyone here. One of the
we'll soon find out.
One of the people who have really. Who really laid an important path for a number of other people to have families in Melbourne and Australia. Jackie Tomlins is in the studio. We'll be speaking to her a bit later, so looking forward to that.
Absolutely. And what else are we doing, David? We've got a few little facts coming up.
Yeah, a few quiz questions. We're going to talk about the census, plus Adrian's got a few stories.
Have I?
Yes, you do. You're our expert. So, Adrian, you've got a lot of stories about your kids and a few parenting things that I would like to ask you about as well.
Can't wait.
But I'm going to lead us off on a quiz question because it's going to lead into the next track that we're going to play. Now, for some of you that know, Faint of Heart is sung by Tegan and Sarah, who are lesbian twins. I didn't know this.
Wow.
Am I a bad lesbian that I didn't know who Tegan and Sarah are?
Sounds like the lesbian Jedwood. Not that Jedwood are gay. I do have no idea. Jedwood, if you're listening, please don't sue us. Sorry, keep going.
Well, my quiz question, they released their song Faint of Heart the other week, and it's the film clip which is the most special thing about, I think, about the track, because it features LGBTQI kids lip syncing to the song. And it's an absolutely beautiful clip. And it was actually filmed the day after the Orlando shootings.
Oh, wow.
Which makes it that little bit more kind of emotional when you do watch the clip. But my question is, who are the two trans actresses that play the cameo roles of trans mums during this clip?
Right.
So there are two trans.
Now, I can't say I don't have the answer. Adrian, do you have the answer?
No, I do not. Are they trans in real life?
So they are real trans actresses play a cameo role of trans mums to trans kids in the show. So, Dave,
if anybody knows the answer, you knew what I was going.
I know the
going.
Answer.
You can text in at 0427JOY949. That's 0427569949. Or you can email onair@joy.org.au, or you can even phone in there at the desk, 1300-JOY-949.
That's right. So let's hear the song. Might inspire you. I'd recommend go and see the clip as well. This is Tegan and Sarah.
Feel your breath on the back of my neck. Feel your heart beating out of your chest. Everyone will say it's dangerous to take this path. Everyone will tell us apart that we are more intact. Everyone will say that we're crazy and that we won't last. Everyone will tell us alone that we are better. We'll be right back.
94.9, that was Family Matters. Tegan and Sarah, great new song. Check out the video clip. Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Now, Gina's back in town this week, so let's give you a little bit of an intro, Gina, so the audience knows a little bit more about you. Gina is a short lesbian. I like to mention a short straight away. And proud mama to a furry baby, Ripley. While she does not have any kids of her own, she's an aunt to 8 and a godmother to 3.5. I'm expecting one coming soon.
October.
Others trust her with her kids, and you should too. Why Family Matters? Since when has not having kids stopped anyone from telling you how to raise your kids? Seriously though, the recent vitriol towards our community in the lead up to marriage equality plebiscite, especially targeting our families, got her pretty angry. And Gina prefers to combat hate with humour.
Yeah.
Where are you reading this from? What's is this Wikipedia? Yeah.
No, of course not. This is our Instagram. You can follow us on, what is it, Gina?
It's actually Joy Family Matters on Instagram. And there's a few other ways you can follow us as well. We are Twits on Family Matters 94. You can follow us on Twitter or even on Facebook at Family Matters on Joy on Facebook.
So, Gina, tell me why you've done an incredible job pulling this show together. Tell me a bit about
when I turn your microphone on, that is.
tell me what inspired you to do a show on families, gay families.
Well, that's the thing. I was kind of training with the guys through the Taste of Radio course, which is fantastic, and got thrown into the film show, which is really my forte because I'm an emerging poor filmmaker trying to make films. And I was kind of looking and pitching ideas looking at shows, and I couldn't believe that we actually didn't have a family show here.
Yes.
And it actually was at the time when minus 18 were getting attacked in the media. And I was starting to get really upset. I remember a flyer being handed out at my local Greek Orthodox church in the lead up to the plebiscite that was already starting to attack.
What do you mean? What's this?
Yes, I'll have to share that.
Did that happen recently?
In Greek and in English. Yes, I did share it with our lovely commissioner to let them know what's out there. But they were really targeting our kids. And, okay, I might not have kids, but I was a young gay person myself, and I know how much that hurt me back those many, many years ago. I won't share my age. I thought it was important to put the show together. Anyway, I pitched it, not realizing that there was a lot of people out there that wanted to kind of share this message.
Yeah. So at about the same time, I probably had some similar thoughts. I'm interested in what you're saying about the plebiscite, because my hunch, and it's not even really a hunch, I think this is going to happen, is that the campaign that will say no in the plebiscite will really focus on, you know, slogans like think of the kids and how can you deny them? You know, it's real. That plebiscite is not necessarily going to be focused just on the marriage between, you know, two people. It's going to focus on the children more so. And I really think that, I find it quite concerning, given I have kids as well. And so at the same time, I spoke to someone at Joy, James Finlay, who is, I'm not sure what his
Our
role
is.
Our
lovely program director.
Oh, thank you for that. Gosh, I was going to, I wasn't sure what his title was. And we had lunch and he's like, you need to meet someone called Gina. And here we are. So,
inner activist. Well, there is one thing I know people with children would have been affected by this week. So I'm just going to remind you of something that happened on Tuesday night.
Oh.
Just waiting for the pace to come up. Computer's a bit slow today.
Sound familiar?
I miss Little
computer
Britain.
Says no.
Yeah.
Computer says no.
Yeah, Tuesday night, was it Tuesday night, the census?
It was. Well, it's going to be every night for the next month, I think, until they get the computer on.
2 million people were able to get their census in on time. But what a disaster. But that's not quite exactly what the disastrous part was.
No.
There was a few questions in there that, especially in our community, the Rainbow community, it struggled to answer and probably basically forced to lie.
Forced to lie.
As in we were limited with our options that we had to answer.
How did you answer that, AJ?
I couldn't get on. I've done nothing. I haven't gotten on, but you did it on paper, is that right?
Because I was away. I was interstate, as you know. I wasn't here, and my hotel gave us a paper form, and the paper form didn't give me the chance to go online because our Wi-Fi was quite terrible. Quite a few bad things about this accommodation, but that's for another time.
Yes.
So I got the paper form, and it actually forced me to not answer question 7, is where I could have announced that I was a de facto couple.
What does that mean? I don't understand.
Well,
so you're saying that in the paper form, you're not allowed to answer question 7?
The paper form as a guest in a hotel did not allow me to answer question 7, which is where I could have potentially have identified my relationship.
So they print out a special hotel-only census?
Well, there was a skip to question 8, which question 8 was asking if I was never married, widowed, divorced, separated, or married.
Yeah, right. So they're just rubbing salt in the wound there, isn't it?
A little bit. So,
quick question to you, Adrian. Being a gay dad, there's a parenting question in census where it says mother and father.
Right, so I figured this out. The gay parent community had shared this a few times. I do understand that if you had, you need to say my child's biological mother and my child's biological father, and you need to answer those two questions. Mm. And someone wrote to the census on Twitter and said, hey, my kids don't have a biological father. How do I answer it? And they just replied, answer it as you see fit to answer those questions. And that was their response.
Goodness.
Well, there you go.
You're listening to Family Matters with any combination of Gina, Adrian, Michelle, David and Beck. Joy 94.9.
Madison Avenue, don't call me baby. You're on Joy 94.9, Family Matters. And we are joined in the studio by, well, I called you a bit of a matriarch of the GLBTI same-sex parenting community.
You did.
Is that okay? Is that allowed?
That's okay.
Should we keep
I'm going to embrace matriarch. I think I quite like that.
I could have said grandma.
No. I don't like grandma. I don't like grandma, but matriarch I can live with.
So tell me, Jack, tell us a bit about yourself. We know you've got a few kids of your own.
Yes.
I'd love to hear a bit of your story.
I do. Okay, my story. At home is my partner, Sarah, who's Canadian. We have been together for 23 years.
Wow.
Which, right, I think. Thank you. And we have 3 kids. We have a son, Corin, who is 13 and a half, and 2 girls who are 9 and 11, Scout and Cully.
And where were the kids born?
They were all born in Melbourne. Mm. We had rather a long IVF journey, which I won't share tonight, but for another time. And we went through Melbourne IVF.
How at the time when you went through, sorry for me to dwell on a couple of these things, but I'm fascinated. At the time that you went through with your eldest, who is now 13,
mm-hmm.
What was it? What was it like? You know what I mean? What was it? How many other people were doing it?
Look, I think there were a number of other people doing it, but it was tough. So at this stage, you could not access fertility services in Victoria. So I went to Sydney initially. So I did 6 cycles of donor insemination in Sydney and then 3 of IVF in Sydney, which, as you can imagine, was a complete and utter nightmare. And then 2 in Albury-Wodonga, which is just across the border. Mm. And, you know, oddly, this little country town had this influx of lesbian couples on a regular basis going to the fertility clinic there.
In the morning, they'd go to fertility. In the afternoon, go to the pub and play the pokies, because that's how the laws were in Albury back then. It was
exactly
completely
right.
different.
Yeah, just across the border. And then at that stage, there was a law change, which was brought about by John McBain from Melbourne IVF, and we could then access services down in Melbourne.
Wow. Mm. Well, and since then, you've done some pretty amazing things, and I think, fast forward a number of years.
Yeah.
And you've done some pretty amazing work. You're on the board of the Victorian. You're a member of the advisory board of the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Treatment Authority.
I am. Yes, sort of. Yes,
sort of. And you've done some work with a number of task forces. So tell us a bit about the work that you do now in advocating for same-sex
marriage. Look, I do have a finger in a number of pies, that's true. One of the things I've been doing a lot of recently is training with health and human service providers working with Rainbow Families. So a very, very broad range of service providers who might have some families starting to come through their service. And they're, a lot of people are, quite supportive, but they just don't really have the skills or the knowledge or their expertise or the confidence to work with families. So I do a lot of work with the staff. I've been working a lot recently with maternal and child health nurses, which has been really interesting.
Yeah, Jack, I read this on your blog and I was quite surprised at some of the responses that you were getting on the feedback form from nurses. Could you kind of talk us through what you sort of and some of the feedback?
Maternal child health nurses, I think, they fall into that category generally. They're pretty good. They're pretty supportive. There's some old school ones there too. But they're a bit nervous. They're always a bit worried about saying the wrong thing and they just don't have the confidence.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I do in the training is to tell stories about my experience of going through the system and of other families that I know, and I talk about the kids a lot. And it works really well. And what I try to do is just to create a very relaxed atmosphere where people can feel comfortable and can ask questions. And and the response I get is fantastic. It's been it's been really positive. And what's been interesting with maternal child health nurses is just to see the numbers of Rainbow Families that they're working with. So And I was at invited to attend one of their recent annual conferences, and I had a stall throughout the day, and I think I must have spoken to maybe 200 people, and my opening question was, have you worked with same-sex family? And of that couple of hundred, there were maybe 6 or 7 that said no.
Wow. Oh,
regional Australia, Victoria, all over. And what I'm finding is when I do a show of hands at the beginning of each session is that increasingly so many of them have worked with lesbian couples and gay dads as well.
It feels like there's been this tipping point that happened a couple. I almost feel like 5 years ago, the idea that, 5 years ago, the idea that, it would be kind of generally understood and accepted that you could have kids. No, so my kids are 5. So go back 5 years further than that. So maybe say 8 years ago. It was kind of a bit, not the norm, but all of a sudden
I think there's been an exponential shift in the last 5 years. I think that would be right. But I think just in the last 2 years, it's been a huge. I always say we're an emerging market. There's a lot.
Hell yeah. But I know for myself, just being, taking my same-sex partner into a hospital, you're in a heightened emotive state. Even when she's been unwell, I get nervous about the treatment that I'm going to receive as her partner there. And in the last couple of years, because she's very accident prone, the service has been fantastic and I've never had that sort of uncomfortable interaction. So it's great to see that it's flowing through to the maternity wards and maternal nurses.
So from the nurses you have been training, what's been sort of the general first up question from the nurses who haven't had any experience with same-sex couples?
I think one of the things that they are very unsure about is the role of the non-birth mum or dad, but generally mum if it's maternal child health nurses, and what the role of that person is and how they might support and affirm them. They're very anxious about language and using the right words about donor or dad or and just trying to get a sense of how our families might be different. And one of the things I do is I talk about the fact that, you know, having kids is the same the world over and irrespective of your sexuality, especially in the beginning. But there are specific things that are different for us. And I always start by outlining what those different things are. And there's a few light bulb moments there, which is really good.
And that's just the tradition of people thinking male figure, female figure.
Yeah, that's right. And you wouldn't necessarily think, you know, without giving it a little bit of thought, that there are particular differences. You've still got a newborn baby and you've still got all those things to deal with.
Yeah.
But there are. And I think that's what's been really interesting to explore and share with those staff.
We had a child maternal health nurse come in, and we weren't sure how it might go and, you know, be able to get one, but it was quite easy. And because we have twins, I think you get this special treatment that they come to your house for quite a few visits. So it was wonderful. We got great treatment. And we had a friend who worked at a company that made formula. And so we kind of got free formula for a brand I won't mention. And Tom and Alice had some pretty terrible diarrhea for the first few weeks. And we said to the child maternal health nurse, you know, I don't really know. The kids have got diarrhea. And she said, the first thing she said, of course, was, you know, what formula are you giving them? And we said, we're giving them X brand formula. And she had spectacles on and she raised her eyes above them and she said, well, you get for what you pay for, you know. So we went straight to the most expensive brand that we could find in the shopping zone.
Adrian, just put your hand a little bit further in your pocket, mate, okay?
That's right, for 18 more years.
Well, more on number threes, it sounds like, and Jack on Family Matters.
You're on Joy 94.9 Family Matters, and we have in the studio Jackie Tomlins. Now, Jackie, you have written the most
fabulous is the word for it, Adrian.
Australia's leading fabulous resource.
I'm not kidding.
Thank you.
It is actually one of the most. You say resource, and you see the page count, and you think, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
But it is one of the most accessible documents that I've ever picked up and read because it's not. And Adrian's weighing it.
Listen to this.
Currently. Yep.
It is
spoken in beautiful, plain English, and it is accessible for, I think, everyone in this community. Mums, dads, trans parents, you name it, and extended families. Brilliant. Absolutely.
Thank
brilliant
you.
Work. No,
thank
quite,
you.
So tell us about what the resource is and who's it, who it was intended for. And
well, the idea for the resource came out of an experience of being at a Rainbow Families picnic where there were about 150 families, I think. And I was wandering around just kind of saying hello to a few people, and there were some young lesbian couples there with tiny babies, with infants. And this was when my kids were about 10, my middle one was 10. And I remember my mum used to say 10 years is a generation. And it suddenly dawned on me, I thought, I said, I'm like this is the next generation of lesbian families coming through. And I wasn't quite sure what that made me, matriarch, maybe. that's good. And I thought, wouldn't it be good if we could kind of harness all that knowledge and experience that my generation of parents had developed over the last 10 years and kind of pass it on to the next generation.
Because, Jack, can I add, there was no internet. There was no Facebook,
no,
Twitter,
that's right,
all
that's
that
right.
sort of stuff to Google your way into this information.
So that was where the idea came from. So I crowdfunded got some money. And basically what I did was I set about interviewing a whole range of families. I interviewed, I think I did about 40 plus interviews and asked them a ton of questions. Lengthy interviews, about 45 minutes. And then I extrapolated all that information and put it into different under different headings, sort of starting from the very beginning and working your way right through. And most of what is in the resource is the voice of parents. And so it's a lot of first person quotes about their experience. And I wanted it to be quite positive, and I wanted it to be that idea that people who have done it before could say, hey, you know what, I tried this and this worked really well. I tried that and that didn't work so well, so maybe do it like this. And so that was the thinking behind the resource.
And I think that's what makes it so accessible. It's like we start off with a topic and it might be language. So how to describe what a donor is, because I know it's tomato versus tomato. avocado. If I said this is what I think a donor is, I'm making an assumption that David has the same understanding as that, as does Adrian, as does you. Yeah. So when, as a couple, you're sitting down to talk about, right, how do we get started and do we want a donor? Do we want a known donor? Do we want co-parenting? If people don't know those definitions amongst within a relationship, let alone with a third party, because – well, really, that's how we create families. We do need another party to actually, as romantic as that is, and I think Adrian and I were talking about maybe romantic songs people can play when they're having...
Whilst doing the legal documents.
While doing legal documents or having these conversations, but it does require another party to participate. Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I've heard from people who have used it, that it is very good for that, for initiating conversations and for all those... talks that you need to have before you start going down this path. So it's been really good for that. The other interesting thing is that when I was kind of halfway through it, it occurred to me that in addition to families and to parents, it would actually be really good for service providers. And so when I do the training now, I talk to training to service providers about it and get them to download it for their staff, because it just gives such a fantastic insight into all the things that are of concern to us, the, you know, the issues, the day-to-day things that we deal with and how we deal with them.
And it's not just about getting started, is it? So it's not about people who haven't started the parenting journey.
No, not at all.
This covers everything through kindergarten.
I actually decided not to deal with conception and to start from post then. So it starts, I think, with there is a section on matching donors and lesbian mums, but then from then it goes on to antenatal classes and maternal child health and then starting school. But it goes all the way up to adolescence and high school, and then I look at rural and regional experience. And
I mean, this is stuff that's no one, you know, my kids are only five. I actually I'm still trying to answer some of the questions around when do we tell them, not that we're ever going to tell them, but they don't even understand in their own heads these concepts, you know. But these are all the things that I need to deal with, you know, primary school. Adolescence.
Yeah.
You know, even things like, you know, there's three boys in our family and one kind of girl, right? So we're going to get to like puberty and I'm going to have some conversations about how that all works and we talk about that. And so
The idea was that wherever you were in the process of your parenting, you could look ahead to what was coming down the track. And when I was writing it, our kids were still in primary school. So the whole high school issues were, you know, I had no idea. So that was really interesting for me, looking ahead to when they were in high school.
Does it ever get to a stage where you just kind of feel like, like at high school, you said there were kind of high school issues and stuff. Have there been? Has there been something where you have?
Look, high school is much less hands-on and you don't have so much involvement. Corin actually changed schools, but one of the issues that you have to deal with in high school is the "that's so gay" as a derogatory term, which is all over high schools.
Yeah, right.
And so just, you know, that's just one of the things. And there are other issues that you have to deal with adolescents. I mean, it might be sex ed in school or then your kid's own sexuality or whatever it is. So there's always something, you know, in line that you're working towards.
Have your kids become their own people, you know, I imagine they might start becoming advocates in their own kind of right? Is that how?
She laughs. They are. I mean, Corin has spoken publicly at a VARTA seminar, Time to Tell, about the experience of being a donor-conceived kid. He spoke to about 100 people. I have to say he absolutely loved it.
Well I was and there was and I was in the buzz. Audience and he was exceptional.
Oh,
exceptional.
Oh, that's very sweet. He really would love that. So the kids all have a very strong sense of what I like about the work that we do and about the work that I do is that my kids know, for example, that it is possible to change a law. You know, that's something that they're growing up with, because we did. We changed the law. Everybody's got their names on their birth certificate. Yeah. And so they know that they kind of take that for granted, that it's not easy, and that, you know, it's a long process and it's a hard process and there's a whole range of things that you have to do, but they know that it's possible.
See, my dad believed by changing things you called a current affair.
Yeah.
And thank goodness he never figured out how to call a current affair, or else we would have been embarrassed on multiple occasions. But no, that's imagine.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, I mean, we really have to say thank you for all the work you have done for changing laws and paving the way for other people to, you know, for other people like myself to take advantage of a lot of social acceptance that I enjoy at the moment, to be honest. And I think there's a lot of people like yourself that put in that have gone through a lot. So, you know, I just want to say thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You've got a huge amount of knowledge. I think that it's great that you're being able to share that through, you know, training sessions and talking to a number of different people.
I think also following on from Adrian as well, when I finally, hopefully, get a chance to raise a family.
Oh, really?
That you've made it a lot easier for my generation and the generations after me as well.
I hope so.
Jackie Tomlins, it's been a pleasure. Oh, you've got a blog.
I do have a blog, JackieTomlins.com.
JackieTomlins.com, check it out.
The resource actually is available on the blog.
It is.
On the website. It is a website now.
And
you can download the entire thing for free or separate sections of it.
Because it's large.
That's right. And put it on something, a link PDF on your page.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can look at it on iTunes or anything.
Family Matters. Not on iTunes. No.
But you were actually on earlier today as well, because you were talking about the census, which we were having to do.
I was. Giggle about.
Did you get to complete your census paper?
No, we didn't. It crashed.
Computer crashed. Really?
It crashed.
Has anyone other than me in the studio completed their census?
No, like the whole country hasn't.
Just me and Malcolm Turnbull.
Not many people have. No. Really? It had the computer, the system's not back up. The website is still down. So,
no, really?
Yeah.
It's not?
No. Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to check it now, but I'm sure it's still down from last night. Denial of service. They're worried about the Chinese coming in and throwing this thing down.
And doing this.
Yeah.
Joy 94.9.
New to Joy podcasts, a number of new Joy podcasts I'm looking forward to listening to. There's Sonia the Screamer and Clay Tops. They embark on a Melbourne International Film Festival adventure on sci-fi and Scream. Steve, Clayton and Beck take a look at the Olympics with two fantastic guests, including former Paralympian Kobe Scott on Stand Up Straight. Enjoy a smorgasbord of sweet musical treats on the latest Babel Pop podcast. And David and Sue. Oh, David and Sue. I love David and Sue. They've been on air for a long time as well. From Friday Night Drive, present a lineup of diverse guests, including Wendy Stapleton on Driving You Mad, Driving You Crazy. And Outtakes are absolutely fabulous and looking for closure as they celebrate two of this year's most anticipated queer films. Joy podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and via iTunes. Share them today.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's Family Matters with Gina, Dave and myself, Adrian.
Welcome back to air, Adrian.
How's your return been, Adrian?
You know what? I was completely excited and relaxed until the mics went on, and then I was kind of a bit nervous unexpectedly.
I personally didn't sleep last night, just waiting for 8 o'clock Thursday, Family Matters, of Adrian. I've heard so much about you around the office, around the studio, where he's been talking about
just it. Just his own messages to us saying, I'm coming back.
It has been really exciting to, I mean, I haven't been on Joy for, I think it's probably been 2 or 3 years, and what happened was when Ralph and I had twins and we stayed on air. I had another show with someone called Andy, and we sat on air for a couple of years, but it got to a point where I couldn't do it anymore.
And you weren't just on any show. You were on a morning show that required you to get up at what time with twins?
Yeah, exactly. We were in the studio at like 6 o'clock, whatever it was, and we were doing the breakfast show a couple of times a week, and it got a bit too difficult. And I remember being in this very studio tearing like, you know, I was ugly crying on air with Andy talking about how we couldn't kind of do it anymore, and that we needed to put to rest Andy and Adrian. Well, I mean, we didn't kill each other, but and so we ended it, and I haven't been on air really since, and I only feel like I've come out of the fog of raising babies and toddlers, and so it's really great to be back on air.
I'm really happy to be here for this moment.
Yeah,
but Adrian, happening right now is the Olympic Games, and you're telling me before that your son
the
is
Olympics.
The most patriotic Aussie we've got.
Have you been watching the Olympics much?
I've watched a little bit of it. I saw the 18-year-old Kyle Chalmers win gold today.
Yeah.
You can't look at me. I'm a bad lesbian. Okay. When it comes to sport, I'm not a fan of sport.
I don't mean to be a stereotypical gay, but, you know, I mean, we kind of watched the opening ceremony, too, let's be honest, and maybe a little bit of the diving. But
don't start the diving.
I haven't really been watching, but, and you know, Ralph and I don't play a lot of sports. Ralph goes to the gym, and really that's a bit about it, right?
Sport.
And the kids do swimming lessons, and they do a little bit of gymnastics, which is good. But for some reason, I don't know how it happened, but young Thomas is obsessed with sports, and in particular team sports. And we've
playing
never played it.
Or watching?
He absolutely, well, actually, it's interesting because he can't quite play, as in you can't join AusKick, which is the AFL football's little kiddie league, until
yes.
you're in your, yeah,
yes.
So he needs to start that next year.
Yes.
So at the moment, it's really a lot about watching. And, you know, he elbows his sister out of the way to get close to the TV. He screams at the TV. You know, he wants to learn how the scoring works. He screams when Australia's in front.
What's he yelling out? What's he screaming? Is he Aussie, or something? Or?
Oh, there was some basketball. I don't know. There was some basketball game going on.
I just love how clueless you are. Some basketball game. You know, there's only been training for 4 years. For
yeah, I know. And he was just screaming when, you know, the Australian basketball team was getting points. And, you know, and Alice just kind of looks at him and rolls her eyes and kind of wanders off. But obsessed.
How are you explaining all this to him? If you're not quite knowledgeable in this field, how are you explaining it to him?
Yeah. I'm doing my best. You know, you know little bits. He's completely into AFL. So he goes on YouTube and he plays all the AFL songs. So he knows all the AFL songs because he plays them on a repeat. And then he downloaded the AFL app. And every couple of days he goes into the app to see who's in the ladder and how it's changed. And, you know, I had to explain to him how the top eight work.
So has he chosen a team yet?
Yes, he's got a team. The teams have been picked.
Do you have a team yourself?
No. This is important.
No.
Ralph have a team?
I don't know.
You know what I'd love? I would love people to message in to explain, how do you give your child an AFL team when you have no care for AFL yourself? How do you do that?
Question.
I would go with either the animal or colours if I was so inclined, but yeah, no.
What does that mean? The colours of your child?
The colours of the teams.
We're all about diversity here.
Yeah, exactly. Diversity and inclusion, that's what we're all about.
I'd go
what
with
animal
the
they are, they're the
of
humans.
The outfit and what I kind of was into, but.
I think maybe St Kilda, because St Kilda and Sydney play off in the first inaugural AFL Pride match this Saturday.
Yeah, so but that can't be a thing. You can't. It's got to be like a rule. The rule is, if you've never followed AFL, your children need to support the team that is. Like, what is it? So the way that we did it, because we needed to do it when they were born, because yeah. I felt obliged to, was we put on Facebook, whoever buys Tom and Alice football sweaters, what do you call them? Football tops.
Jumpers.
Jumpers. Yes. Football jumpers.
Has he got a number on the back at least?
No, whoever buys the kids that first is who they will barrack for. So Thomas barracks for Tigers, because that's what Shane bought him, and Alice barracks for Collingwood, because that's what Tamara bought her.
I remember I had to, as I've mentioned, I'm a very active aunt, and my nephew loves football and his family doesn't. So I got the job of taking him to AusKick and all those games as well. Not that I followed football or liked football.
So every weekend you would take...
Not only every weekend, Adrian, every Wednesday night
in
winter... I had to go and stand in the cold and the wet while he practiced, because he was still really young and a bit scared if I waited in the car. So I had to wait there in the rain with no umbrella, because I'd never learnt how to live through this.
Adrian, I'm an avid football fan, so what I'll do...
Are you?
Yes, I am. I can maybe lend a hand somewhere.
Can you?
When the young Thomas is getting into AusKick, I'll come down and, you know, show him how to do a torpedo.
I know what a speccy is now.
But can you can't kick a...
Yes.
You can't kick a torpedo. Are you saying you can?
I've played footy, yeah.
Stop it, really? Yeah. Oh, it's so... Since I've been away from Joy for like 3 years and this place is butched up so much. All our gay politicians are footballers, all our gay announcers are footballers. I am absolutely impressed. And if you want to give a lesson to Tom and Alice, you will absolutely be allowed to.
I played one senior game about 8 years ago.
What's a senior game?
Like senior game is playing for like the highest grade in that, like for your local club.
Wow.
So if I should have just come out then. I could have been the Jason Ball before.
You could
Jason
have.
Ball was Jason Ball.
Wow. Well, I'm very impressed. Well, it's actually really good. I mean, I'm so pleased that he loves sport. It just feels like it's really wonderful. The trouble I've got is I've now got to care about it.
No, you don't.
Well, I can't. I have to. I can't. I mean,
I didn't have to. But the one thing I did struggle with was actually taking him to – like the games where you're playing with other teams are fine because there's usually a really good coffee cart there and there's usually like a really good hot dog stand. So that you're usually covered at those. But it was when I would take him to big matches at, you know, proper football matches that I really struggled because of everything that was happening around me. So I was very offended by a lot of the language that I heard. But one was not suitable for a little kid to be hearing. And also that was not the most LGBTQI friendly language that I was hearing. But
really,
this is why I'm really looking forward to what's happening this week. And Dave, I think you can actually give us some more information about this.
Yeah. So Joy on Saturday has a four hour broadcast, at Etihad Stadium regarding the inaugural Pride match. So, and it's all about promoting the gay and the lesbian and the whole rainbow community, diversity, inclusion.
So is this something they're going to do like every year for one match?
I believe so, yes. So this is AFL really new for them.
And who between who?
St Kilda and Sydney.
And Nikki Wingmar's son's is gay, right? Is that like a new thing or did we know that all the time? Or
just a new thing.
It's new in the media, but it's probably timed that very well with the inaugural Pride match this Saturday.
Did they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. The AFL have a real massive opportunity here, and I think it's not about me, you, and Gina in this room. I think it's about 15-year-olds, or you know, in the teenage years when they're not sure about themselves and coming out and so forth.
I think if the AFL
promote a good message, I think it'll be good for the 15-year-olds.
I'm not going to watch, but I will support.
I'll let
the
you
AFL
know the scores next week
because I really care about that. Thank you.
Now you two weren't here last week.
No,
clearly you're trekking away
and
doing whatever else. But Michelle told us a few stories about her taking her kids to the supermarket. So I want to know if you've got any funny stories. Yeah, can you tell us?
I would love to. Are we going to play a song and then I'll come back? No, we keep talking.
Forget the song. We're just
this is
gonna...
not breakfast radio anymore.
No,
is it?
This isn't breakfast radio.
We love
I want to know the
Adrian.
Story.
Because usually what would happen is I would promise a great story, we'd go to a song, I'd think of one, and then I'd say it.
So now, well, how about we go to the quiz answer, which was the quiz from earlier tonight, and then you can lead us into your story.
No one's answered the quiz, right?
I think we're still waiting for those texts to come through, so I'm just going to give you the answer anyway.
Do we have a prize?
We don't have a prize. Maybe that's why we didn't
get any. It's not breakfast radio.
I don't know many trans actors. Can I go through how many I know?
How many do you know?
Oh,
okay.
There's a trans actor in that, isn't there?
There was a trans actor in that, but that's not the actor in this.
One in the Netflix show, the one in the Netflix, Sense8?
No, not that one.
And that's it.
And
I don't
that's
know many
it.
Others.
What's the answer, Gina? Tell us.
Well, the answer to who played the cameo role, so it was trans actresses playing trans mums in the Tegan and Sarah film clip, Faint of Heart, was actually Angelica Ross and Jen Richards from the web series Her Story. Now, you might not have heard of it yet, but it's just been nominated for an Emmy, which is a massive thing for a web series that was self-funded to have been nominated for an Emmy. And those two actresses do play a little cameo role in it. I might know that trivia because I think once... Absolutely
fantastic.
Not.
Yeah.
But- So Michelle, back to the supermarket. Michelle was saying about she leaves a little bug in the car with the window open just a little bit so they can get some sort of oxygen in. And Bug thinks that Michelle's never going to come back to the car and she's.
Michelle can't leave the children in the car while she goes shopping.
No comment, actually.
We'll just leave that there.
Until we've spoken to our family lawyers.
Yeah, exactly. So the lawyer and Michelle are not present for this.
No word of a lie. Last week, we went out with the kids on the weekend and Tom is obsessed with Pokemon. And so what we did was we allowed Tom to play Pokemon and Alice also to play Pokemon on a seesaw. And so they were on the seesaw playing Pokemon, going up and down, up and down, up and down, you know, for kind of 5 or 10 minutes. And then Tom finished and looked up and he was like, I don't feel very well. And then he went into the car and just quickly went down the road to go into the supermarket. And went into the supermarket, Tom said, I'm really not feeling very well. And I think it's because you're a bit, I think you're not allowed to look at the screen when you're moving. Aww. You might have motion sickness, Tom. And he said, yeah, I don't feel great. I think, and then he vomited everywhere.
Oh.
He vomited all over the floor last week at the supermarket. Oh.
Clean up in aisle 4.
I know. It's terrible. Yeah. But anyway.
Have to wind it up. But next week we've got a wonderful guest who actually needs no introduction.
Who's this?
Well, you all know her.
I don't know who's on the roster next week. It's
clearly somebody who doesn't read my emails.
It's Rowena Allen.
It is.
Oh, Rowena Allen.
Who is also a part of this Saturday night's Pride Match broadcast.
I think she's like me. When it comes to football, we're bad lesbians. We're not big fans. But hey, so go Rowena.
Who's Rowena? I know who she is, but for all the listeners, she's the Equality Minister, right? The Victorian Equality Minister?
Or? Just the Equality Minister. She's just celebrated a year of being our first, Victoria's first gender and sexuality commissioner.
Same-sex parent as well herself?
She is. She's a mum as well. So right. I'm very much looking forward to chatting with Rowena.
Already.
All right, great. So we'll have her on next week.
Adrian, it's great to have you back.
It is great. And we've got a bit more to do to lock these things down.
Can
but
I just
am looking
say,
forward to it.
And I might even try and record it for next week, but the cutest thing when we came into studio tonight was you FaceTiming your kids goodnight before we went on air. They didn't actually know what radio was. So we might have to
explain to them.
Yeah, we might have to bring them in and actually explain.
And Adrian, by the way, nice blue sweater there over there. It's a very sharp outfit you got going on.
He's making
there.
Fun of me, Gina. He's making fun of me, I think.
I think my granddad's got the same one, actually.
Look, enough banter from us. Up next, we've got our favourite, well, forget about Goldilocks, because we've got
woods.
Our favourite bears on the woods coming
woods.
Up. And we forgot to thank, well, you might not have heard Becca earlier tonight because she was on Stand Up Straight with Michelle and Rachel talking female allies.
Woods.
Thank you,
they
girls.
They say something about taking your hand. I'm going to take your hand into the woods.
They
stuff.
Do.
I love that bit.
And another very big thank you to the people on our desk tonight, who is Robert and Mosheen, who have been on the desk taking care of things out there, putting out fires if they needed to be put out. Not that bad. Happens. But no, it's been a wonderful night here. So thank you, everyone. Good night.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.